Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to DAVE, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program on Health Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Join Dave and his guests now and every Tuesday at noon Pacific on Radio Star Worldwide as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day so you can live your caregiver life more fully and abundantly. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
A big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous worldwide global, well, I always get that name wrong, from the famous, okay, take two, coming to you live globally through the famous Radio Star Worldwide Network. Yes, folks, I'm the guy who has a terrible memory and is going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. Now, we have an exciting show planned for you today with my lovely co-host, Adrian Gruberg, who we're still waiting for. And we are going to be interviewing Tina Scallon, author of Amazon bestseller, The Ultimate Guide to Compassionate Caregiving, mainly with parental, you know, when you're caring for your parents. So stay tuned. You will not want to miss this show. Hey, if you're new to the show, and we get many new listeners every week, especially from the Blab Television Network, I am your host, Dave Nassani, and this show is to caregivers of every single kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring, selfless, sacrificial. Oh, yeah, and they're very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. Folks, come on, learn a lesson from the airlines. Remember them? Every time you board a plane, they say in the event of an unlikely emergency, put your oxygen mask on first before you help your loved one with their mask, because they know from experience that if you don't, you will most likely black out and you won't be any good to anybody. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects that it can have on us. It automatically throws us into this other thing called the grief process. Ouch. Unfortunately, folks, I wish I could help you, but there's only one way out of the grief process. You got to go through it. Can't go around it, over it, under it. You got to go through it. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to, you know, feel like you're stuck. Hey, I want to thank my last week's guest, Elizabeth Miller, talking about helping overwhelmed caregivers create balance. And just a reminder that you can hear that interview on podcast, video, and audio. Just find the link on my website, caregiverscaregiver.com. That's caregivers with an S and caregiver without an S.com. And while you're there, take our short quiz to see if you're a candidate for burnout. And just for doing that, because I'm such a nice guy, I'm going to send you my first book absolutely free. What a deal. One arm, one leg, 100 words, overcoming unbelievable hardship. Still getting great reviews on Amazon. All right, enough of that. Tina, welcome to the show. And thank you so much for agreeing to this interview today. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you as well.
So why don't you take a minute or two and introduce yourself. Just tell us, who is Tina Scallon and what is she doing on my show?
I am Tina Scallon. I've been the ultimate caregiver pretty much my whole life. I was a candy striper. And then after I was a candy striper, I went and worked for the hospital, worked in every department of the hospital. And then I met a company called Total Care and started working in a home health environment. And then in 2001, I started my own company called Independent Living Services. And here I am.
So here's your first question, Tina. In your first book, you've devised a simple blueprint for dealing with today's healthcare crisis combined with years of wisdom and sound advice. Tell us about how you acquired all this wisdom and how you are helping caregivers.
I had a home care agency for 25 years and lots of educational material to train my employees. The book actually was starting out to be a blueprint for my employees. And then I moved to Florida. And when I moved to Florida, the rules and regulations got so crazy that I ended up giving up the business and decided to tell the world how to take care of their loved ones in my giant book.
Yes, and it is a giant book, isn't it? It's an encyclopedia, which is awesome. The power of an encyclopedia is if you need to know something, you go and you grab it off the shelf and you say, okay, that's awesome. And then you put it back, and then you want something else, you grab it and put it back. But you are writing another book now, right? Tell us about your first book and how it compares to this new book.
Well, the first book was over 600 pages. And
wow,
it was,
encyclopedia. Yeah,
it was beyond encyclopedia. It was way too much information. The second book, pretty much I shortened it down to 400 pages. And then I added a glossary in the back so it can explain a lot of words that I use in a book. I try to make it as layman's term for the average person as I could. And I think I did a pretty good job considering that the book is so vast. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually start writing a book per chapter.
That's an excellent idea.
Yeah, and it'll pretty much shorten up things, and you can get to pick and choose what you want to read about.
Great. Adrian, welcome. Can we hear you? There you are. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good. And this is Tina Scallon, and this is Adrian Gruberg of the Caregiver Space. Adrian is famous in her own right. She managed to convince 155,000 plus people to follow her, and that means she's a good leader. So anything to ask our guest, Adrian, or not yet?
I have a lot to listen to yet.
Okay. Well, the next thing I'd like to ask you is, I understand you have a new business, and you had an old business, so your new business is what, the ultimate caregiving expert, and how does that differ from the old business?
Well, the old business was, I had 26 to 40 employees, wow, and I only serviced Louisiana and Mississippi, the Gulf Coast. And when I wrote the book, I figured that it was going to go worldwide, and I couldn't get the marketing out there to really reach everybody. So the Ultimate Caregiving Expert is a blog that will teach education and inspiration for elder care. And what I'm doing is consulting. It's pretty much like a Q&A type situation, reviews for products that people need, and lots and lots of information for the public to teach them how to take care of their elders.
Mm. And elders in general or parents in specific?
Parents specific.
Wow. And grandparents, I would assume, as well. So
yeah, right now I'm in the sandwich generation. So I'm taking care of my daughter and I'm taking care of parents. So.
And if you have to take care of someone else, you become a club sandwich.
That's the truth.
Well, that's really interesting because, you know, my mother recently died, and it's just something different taking care of a parent versus a spouse or, you know, a sibling or best friend or something like that. So I guess since you're an expert in parental caregiving, I'll ask you this. What is the best way to care for one or both of your parents?
Lots and lots of patience. When you're not feeling well, you're grumpy. Mm-hmm. And you have to make light of it, and you have to make them smile, make them happy. And sometimes that's really hard. So you have to listen more than you speak, and you have to give them tender, loving care.
Wow. If it was only that simple. Or is it that simple?
No, it's not that simple. Taking care of a stranger is a lot easier than taking care of your own parents.
You get more respect, I think. Maybe that's what that term means. Familiarity breeds contempt. I never understood what that meant until someone told me. And it's like, you know, the people who know me best, I get the least respect from, which I don't know if is it a compliment or not, but I guess it's just normal. With a stranger, we give extra grace, extra mercy, the benefit of the doubt. But when you have a loved one, especially with a parent, because a lot of these issues, I would think, go back many, many years or decades from childhood, you know, for things that happen. Can you discuss with us why is burnout more likely when you are watching your parents versus watching a stranger or watching, you know, a sibling or someone else?
When you take care of a stranger, they're gracious, they're more hospitable, and they want to be kind to you. When it's your parent, they feel, hey, I took care of you the last 30 years. You need to take care of me now. And when they ask you to do something, they don't ask one thing, they ask 20 things. And
payback.
So that's where, and that's where the burnout comes.
Wow. So how long did it take you to write the 600-page book?
2 years.
Two years. Wow, I'm impressed. That's awesome.
Well, I had a big binder of educational material to ship through, and I didn't want to copyright anything. So pretty much I had to put in my own words, and that was quite difficult.
Well, congratulations, by the way. So, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask a question about caring for parents long distance, because that is in my part of the world. There are lots of children who live in New York and parents that live in Florida.
I agree with you 100%. And the best thing for me to do is say that you have to go with your local sitter service company. But the thing is, you have to make sure that they do a criminal background check. And my favorite is the FBI 5-star criminal background check. You can go to your local police department and anyone can get a background check. That's the easiest. And another thing too is there's so many caregiving advocates out there that can help you. But like where I'm living right now, Destin, Florida, it's a vacation town. So the nearest caregiver advocate is about 100 miles away. So it's really hard. And you have to count on the internet for a lot of things. But there's a lot of great things that are coming out there, especially when you can Skype and you can, you know, figure out some things. So the best thing that I can say is your local hospital, where there's social workers and caregivers, case managers. And the grace of God.
So have you found that it's easier for the parent to leave and move in with the child or for the child to pick up and move in with the parent? And what are the pros and cons of both of those? Or are there any?
Every situation is different. Every single situation is different. There's not one situation that is the same. If you have several children, they fight over the parent. They want the parent to move into their home. So then
really?
It's easier. Yeah.
Or do they fight over who doesn't get the parent?
No, they fight who's going to get the parent.
Really? Wow. Does that surprise you, Adrian?
Yes, a lot.
Well, because when you get the parents, you get the finances.
Oh, yeah. Especially in Florida.
Especially in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida.
So they fight over. So who usually wins? Which kid usually gets the parent?
The one that does the power of attorney.
Really?
Yeah.
So others are not willing to take on the responsibility and the liability of being a power of attorney? Is that what the motive is?
Yeah. And because it's legal, a lot of states now are making, if the parent is not financially stable, it is the children's responsibility to pay for the parent's caregiving.
Well, that is interesting.
That can be a hardship.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially this day and age. Absolutely. And that's where the nursing homes come into play, but they're overcrowded. They're understaffed. Mm-hmm. So the easiest way to do it, I have been very, very blessed by scheduling, knowing how to schedule. So whether it's the kids helping take care of mom or you bring an outside entity to create a schedule, whether it's, you know, 3 8-hour shifts, and this everybody help with your local churches. It's this big scheduling. If you do it right, it can be done well.
What are the extreme disadvantages of getting a power of attorney? I mean, obviously, the obvious one, I would think, is that when your parent dies, you don't want people coming after you saying, okay, you have to pay the bills. You sign this saying that you're responsible, blah, blah, blah. What should and should not be done when dealing with a power of attorney?
Everybody should have a written will. If they do not have a written will, that is when the problems start, because then you become legally responsible. But if you have a will, once everything is carried out, your responsibility is over.
You mean a real will, not a living will?
A real will, yes, from an attorney, yes.
So if they don't have a will, they can legally go to the next of kin to pay all of the debts?
Yes, and the thing is in certain states, I don't know all of them, but in certain states, you are legally responsible until the end. I mean, everyone should get a written will.
So you'd have a clause in there that says something like what?
Stating that once all bills are paid and money is dispersed, there is no legalities. It is done with when they die.
Hmm. Well, that's a good idea. And maybe even a living trust would be even better, right?
Yes. Yes, a trust is better than a will.
And so what is it? Does it cost anything to get a power of attorney?
I think attorney fees. I want to say it starts off like maybe 100, 150, something like that.
So not too terribly bad. Well, listen, we're going to take a short break, so don't go away, and we'll be back with our guest, Tina Scallon, and our lovely co-host, Adrian Gruberg. So don't go away. Bye-bye.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you, and ultimately, an investment in them. Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and tune into Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver radio program on Radio Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. With roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, it's about one-third of the population. That means everybody probably knows somebody caring for a loved one. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Mothers of special needs children, family members caring for elderly parents, spouses, siblings, or friends caring for disabilities such as Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, muscular dystrophy, AIDS, autoimmune diseases, the list goes on. Join Dave and his guests every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific on Radio Star Worldwide as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. You'll start feeling better in no time as you begin to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help you get through the day and to live life more fully and abundantly.
And we're back with Tina Scallion and Adrian Gruber. I'm hearing an echo. So strange. What remedies? I know we talked about burnout a little while ago. What remedies do you recommend for caregiver burnout?
Walk away.
That's an ugly thing, right? And watching your parents probably makes it more likely that you will burn out as opposed to less likely.
The best thing is when they take a nap, you take a nap. When they are doing something, take a short 10-minute walk. Walk outside. Take a nice long bubble bath. Anything that can recharge your batteries.
Hmm. So you don't recommend isolating yourself and stop calling your friends, stop going out to movies.
No.
Stuff like that.
No.
So why do people do it? Why do they forsake their friends? Why do they forsake their health? Why do they forsake their sleep and their diet? Why do they do that?
Because it's their parents, especially when it's their parents. They feel obligated. They do not want to disappoint. So they keep
people pleaser type of thing going on.
Yeah.
You know, I had a parent who had small children at home. Share some words of wisdom, and I'll share them here, because her parent kept like demanding that she get her, you know, lunch first before she does anything else. And finally, she just says, "Listen, Mom, I have time to either get, you know, my daughter's lunch, who's, you know, like 4 years old, first, or I can get yours first. What would you prefer?" And she's, "Oh, no, get hers first," you know. So using reverse psychology like that can be very helpful as well, especially if you have small children around the house.
Yes, reverse psychology is very good.
So when we're talking about the types of disabilities that a parent has and we're watching them, I mean, I see potential for this relationship being destroyed by being a caregiver. And do you see that happening where, you know, it just gets worse and worse and worse because of the dynamics that are going on?
Yes, absolutely. That is why you have to make yourself a priority. You have to keep in touch with your friends. You have to have outside help, whether it's your local church, for 1 hour while you can go have coffee with a friend. If not, it can get bad. It could lead, I've seen it lead to divorce. I've seen it abuse.
And because one spouse sees what's happening to the other spouse and the other spouse is in denial about it, and so they just can't take it anymore?
Can't take it no more.
Yeah, I wonder, because I'm thinking, there must be a way that you found to set limits in the most effective way between the parent and child.
Well, communication. You have to have open communications, but you have to listen to them and hear their side instead of just saying, "It's my way, this is the way it's going to be." I've been in both situations to where I've taken care of parents, and I've also been in a situation to where I've been in homes with children taking care of their parents with a sitter service. And when you sit there and say, you know, you're going to eat Rice Krispies every morning, you're going to have a sandwich in the evening, and you're going to have chicken for dinner, it does not work. You have to take tender, loving care. Another thing is in the morning times when you get up and you put makeup on, don't you feel better? I mean,
yeah, I know I do.
When you look good, you feel good. And it applies to the elderly as well. When you take a nice warm rag, you comb their hair, it feels better. It gives them more dignity in their life. So then it's easier for them to sit there and say, "I'm going to be nice today."
Is it really that simple? Wow.
Kindness goes a long way.
So how do we prevent that that relationship from being destroyed? You already mentioned a couple of things, but, you know, it's just something about parents, you know, you know, I can think of my parents and I think of my children with their parent, with my wife. I think of all these parents, and every kid has got something going on with their mother. Seems like daughters especially and mothers just have so many things to have friction over. And it's like watching a soap opera almost. You're saying, well, where'd that come from? Why are they arguing about that? And what's the big deal? And, you know, control. And what can girls do to just, like Rodney King says, can't we all just get along?
Set limits, set boundaries. I mean, absolutely. You have to sit there and say, you know, Becky's going to come in for an hour or two while I take Nancy to her ballet recital. You have to walk away. If you don't, then that's when the family dynamics fall apart.
So it sounds like guilt is a weapon of the parent typically, because it's always worked before. I think of Fred Sanford in Sanford and Son. You know, he'd always grab his heart and say, Elizabeth, coming for you, honey. Trying to get Lamont to do something, and it works every single time.
Yes, guilt is a powerful thing.
So I separate guilt in two categories. There's deserved guilt and undeserved guilt. And you have to figure out, is this guilt deserved? Do I deserve this guilt? You know, and if you're not sure, ask some trusted friends. But if the answer is no, I don't deserve this guilt, then just, you know, let it roll off of your back like water on a duck. You know, I liken it to a disposable diaper. Just take that diaper with the poopy guilt and toss it. You know, because what happens if you leave dirty diapers on kids? It cooks their bottom, and it's just not a good thing. And if it is deserved, then fix it. Apologize. You know, turn yourself into the police. Whatever it takes, fix it. And then do the same thing with the guilt. Get rid of it. Throw it away. Some people hang on to guilt, you know, years, decades, forever.
Forever.
Don't want to do that. Especially mothers. Mothers love to hang on to guilt. For some reason, Jewish mothers have an exceptional talent for this. Is that right, Adrian?
Yeah. It's inbred.
Inbred, yes.
Well, another thing, too, is if you're organized, it helps a whole lot. I mean, if you're
organized, how?
Say more on that, yeah.
Schedules. Making sure that the house is organized and clean and not cluttered. It just makes life so much easier because you can put your hand on things. You can have people come in and you don't waste time. And wasting time is a lot of frustration.
Yeah, sometimes I'll look at my desk, which is a mess, and I'll say, my God, that's what my mind feels and looks like. So a clean, unorganized desk, not only is a sign of a sick mind, but it's also a sign of an organized mind, right?
That's right.
Okay. So that's the goal. Remember that. So, gosh, you got something to say, Adrian?
Well, making sure they're happy and content. You know, what if, and I'm speaking from experience, all right, I dealt with someone, there was no pleasing. There was no way to make them happy. They were getting old. They didn't want to get old. They ached. They didn't want to ache. And all they ever did was complain to anybody who would listen. And half the time, I was the brunt of those complaints. That's not either here or there. I don't care that I was the brunt of it. But what do you do with somebody who is just a miserable individual?
Laughter.
The grumpy old man syndrome?
Laughter. I had a client that was so miserable, and he wanted to yell and scream. And I got to the point where I was able to calm down. Let me shave your neck. Let me make you feel better. Oh, you know, let me make something. What is your favorite food? And once I got into the stomach of things, then it was laughter. I would go, he enjoyed Burger King. So when I would come back with Burger King, I would have the Burger King crown on. And he would laugh at that, and it would make things so much lighter and easier. So laughter is definitely the best medicine.
Even with the parent.
Yes, absolutely with the parent.
You know, I have, I won't even say who it is because it's too close and I don't want them to watch the show and get mad at me. But there's an anonymous mother out there who has been diagnosed with dementia. However, you can spend 2 or 3 hours with them and I don't see an ounce of dementia. They seem very sharp and very clear and remember a lot of things. But then the next day or the next hour, they don't remember the conversation they had with you. So, but the real problem is they think everything is missing and you took it or somebody was in here. Let's call the police. And I mean, it's everything down to the stupid rubber bands. You know, I had rubber bands here. Somebody was in here when I was in the hospital and they took all my stuff. Who would do that? You know, what kind of a person would do that? Take my rubber bands and move this pot. And, you know, so they'll find them in about an hour and then they'll lose them again. And somebody took it again, you know, and I just... It's enough to drive a caregiver crazy.
Well, that's where organization comes in and you make sure those rubber bands right there.
But she keeps moving them.
But another thing too is with dementia and Alzheimer's, no matter how many times they ask you, do not get frustrated. Repeat, repeat, repeat. And yes, it is very frustrating to you to answer the question 20 different times, but it makes them feel so much better.
We've done it all our life with two-year-olds. Why? We should be used to it by now. And it is paid
off. Full circle. We go full circle.
Yeah. So I think if people just gave elders the same courtesy that we give our two-year-old, you know, a three-year-old, you know, respectfully speaking, I'm not saying treat them like children, but... You know, you can treat them respectfully, treat your children respectfully, don't you? You know, oh, no, honey, we don't do that. You know, we do this. Da, da, da.
Yes, we don't talk to them like with baby talk.
Yeah. Don't do that, right?
No, do not do that.
Just talk to them as a baby, but in adult talk.
Yes. Respect goes a long way.
Did you use some of those tactics, Adrian, on your situation?
My sister-in-law is the one, I credit her all the time, and I may have spoken about it before on the show, so. My mother was very difficult. And my sister-in-law said, treat her like she's a crazy person. Nothing is going to make any sense. It's all going to have to be her way. So just guess her to death and do what has to be done.
Just, I agree with that.
Agree. Yeah.
You're right.
But she says, it's going to rain. I know it's going to rain. I can feel it's going to... That's a bad example. But you're right. It does feel like rain. it made life easier because I wasn't taking the bait.
Yes, don't disagree. Agree with everything. I agree.
Yeah, that's great advice. So what are the worst disabilities that your parent could possibly have? I mean, is it dementia? Is it Parkinson's? Is it cancer? Is it, you know, arthritis? I mean, what are there, or are they all the same? It doesn't matter.
When you don't feel good, you don't feel good, and it's always horrible, but... The two that I always found to be the most hardest was Alzheimer's and arthritis, or when you're in wheelchair bound. When you're wheelchair bound, there's nothing that can make you feel better because you're just in constant pain.
Do you have any hints for people who get understandably frustrated when they go to take care of their parents and the Alzheimer's patient doesn't know them? Is there any trick that...
You know, I'm kind of dealing with that right now. my father-in-law, he does not know his wife. He doesn't know his children. And he has questions like, you know, am I renting this room when he owns the house? So it's pretty much, you know, you just have to be kind. You just have to kind of reiterate, this is your son, I'm your wife, and just kind of repeat in patience.
It's very hard when you have to do it constantly, and it hurts, you know.
Yes, it does.
That kind, and they just don't know you.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, we really, caregiving is in such a crisis right now. I mean, by 2030, 60% of the population will be elderly.
Yes.
You know, and our younger generation does not want to deal with it. So, you know, with all the anger and everything out there.
To go into if, as a businessman.
Yeah, but, you know, Medicare has to come into play. I mean, there's a lot of things that have to come into play that is not coming into play. And our government leaders definitely have to worry about that.
Mm. Yeah, that's awfully depressing. Well, listen, we're going to take another break. Don't go away, and we'll talk about more depressing things when we get back.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is a touching story about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resembled that of both a Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on her right side. She met her husband Dave 21 years earlier. They had a wonderful fairy tale storybook-like courtship that soon culminated in their marriage. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left, finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn. She started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought them all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, their love then produced Rebecca. They all had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope that everything happens for a reason and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone that meets her. Best-selling author Lynn Barrington says, "If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story from the heart. It is inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light." 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch, says, "Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror. As the Bible states, you will be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through." Order your copy today from the author's website, onearmonelegonehundredwords.com. And Dave and Charlene will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy.
And we're back with Tina Scallon and Adrian Gruberg and me, Dave Nassani, and Sammy, our engineer, who can't be seen because he has a poor internet signal. So let me ask you, I want examples of boundaries. You know, everyone says have boundaries, have, you know, predetermined conversations, but, you know, for somebody who doesn't know how, or they're just not real bold like me, or assertive, and they're just such a people pleaser that they would rather have a root canal than say no to their mother. Give me some examples of healthy boundaries and how to implement them.
Notebook. a notebook, a schedule, you have to say no. You have to say no. So,
well, how do you say no and not feel like crap after you say it?
You're going to feel like crap always.
Oh,
but
so just get used to feeling like crap.
Wow.
There must be some tricks, though. Adrian, somebody.
I didn't feel like crap after I set the boundaries. I mean,
I think it would feel good to say, hey,
I feel much better when I set boundaries. Absolutely.
They were reasonable boundaries. It's not as though I was asking for the moon. I've got to go out. I need an hour. Just want to get out and have a manicure and take a walk, and I'll only be an hour. I'll have my cell phone with me, but every Thursday night, this is what I'm going to do right before dinner.
But what's your personality type, Adrian? Are you like a real wishy-washy people pleaser? I don't see that in you. Maybe you used to be. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you used to be.
I majored in it. Yeah.
Really? So there's hope. If you can do it, anybody can do it, right?
Well, yeah, I think it is a learning thing. You have to see that it's successful when it works once.
Success breeds success.
Twice, exactly.
You have to take baby steps. Yeah. Baby steps. It asks for small things and then lead up to big things. And I'll ask for, can I leave to go get the manicure? And then once
that is... Do we ask or do we tell?
Depends on the situation. Some people want you to ask, and some people say, we have to just set these boundaries, and this is what we're going to do. But if you set boundaries, then you get bigger things. Like I was telling you earlier, I had a client that... She wanted to go on a cruise, but she could not because her mother made her feel so guilty about leaving. The cruise was for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And she says, I'm going to die if you leave me. And she says, you know, they're shipped ashore. I will call you every day. But this is something I need to make me feel better. And I will take better care of you if I can do this. And she allowed it, and things got much, much better after she got back.
Oh, so she went. That was good.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be an unhappy ending.
Well, the first time around, it was. She absolutely said no, and she did not go. And she was very sad, and the mother saw that she was miserable. Oh. But when the next summer came around and she let her go, life got much better.
Interesting. So there is a book out there, Boundaries. You highly recommend it.
Yes.
It's about that thick, and it gives you all sorts of examples on how you can exert your boundaries. And it, actually, you know, a lot of arguments go on because boundaries were never talked about. And so the offending party never knew they were crossing a boundary because a boundary was never revealed to them. And maybe, just perhaps, if they knew there was a boundary, they wouldn't cross it, you know?
Every situation's different. Boundaries could be, would you feed someone? Some parents, some children will sit there and say, you know, you don't need eggs and bacon. You need Rice Krispies every day. And if they don't get the eggs and bacon, they can make life really hard. So give them what they want. It's easier to do something that they're going to enjoy than making them miserable.
Sounds like food is a big issue.
Mm-hmm. food is a very big issue. I mean, I would give them an either or. You can have this and, you know, this is better for your arthritis and stomach and this and this and this. Or you can have what you want to have. You can have the strawberry shortcake. And suffer the consequences, but whichever one you choose.
Make sure it's a good choice.
And come to think of it, food is an issue with toddlers, isn't it?
Yeah. Tantrum.
Well, same thing with the elderly, tantrums.
Tantrums, yes. All right, let's talk about driving. So we're watching your parent, and your father just thinks he's the best driver since the 20s, and he's not giving those keys up. He's already gotten lost a couple of different times. Somebody had to go find him and lead him home. How do we take away the car keys, or do we do tricky little things like switch them and it won't work, you know, if he ever gets out and tries it, and then before it becomes an issue, he forgets about it? I mean, what is your situation on driving?
Been there, done that. The easiest way is to convince them what a pain in the butt driving is. Dad, I have this wonderful service. It's called Uber. And they came to your city, and they will drive you anywhere you want to go. And you don't have to worry about car insurance. You give up your car insurance. You save money. You don't have to go to DMV every 2 years. You don't have to maintain the car. So that's the way I did it.
Did it work?
Absolutely. Introducing car services definitely worked.
Wow.
The first time?
Yeah. he had to get into an almost near car accident for him to realize, well, I better do this.
Yeah, same with my mother. She hit the gas instead of the brake, and she got scared.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then after a month or so, she forgot. You know, and she wanted it back. And we said, no, it's already, the car's already gone. You know, your insurance is canceled and, you know, da, da, da. But she brought it up at least a dozen times. I want a car again. You know, I said, no.
Well, we had, Steve's mother was a very good driver. She was, however, pretty much deaf. And she was certainly was dangerous as far as driving went. But she insisted that she was good. And I said, well, if the hearing test says that your left ear, the one near the window, is totally deaf, you can't drive anymore. And she still said, no, I'm going to drive. So my late husband said, well, I'm going to stop paying the insurance. I'm going to take you off our insurance. You know, it was like the families had the insurance. You're going to end up taking complete ownership of the car and the insurance, and anything that happens from here on in is your responsibility. And she didn't give the keys up, but she never drove again.
Well, you also need to let them know that if they do get into an accident, someone can sue them and take everything they work so hard for.
I mean, I was telling her, you won't know if there's a little girl behind the car screaming at you. You can't hear them.
Yeah.
It was awful. It's very hard. And I understand how much freedom it feels like all their freedoms being taken away from them when you take those car keys out of their hands.
Yeah.
Well, I do have a blog post on my blog that gives lots and lots of tips on how to take your parents' keys away.
Good. What are the top three?
Well, now I'm going to have to go see because the top three.
Yeah, you're supposed to read your book periodically, every 6 months, I think. That's a rule.
Well, after doing blog after blog after blog, you start to get jumbled in your head.
Yes, I know. I'm a blogger, too.
Yes.
Let's talk about living arrangements. I know with my mother, you know, I think what scares the heck out of a kid the most is that mom or dad has to move in with me. You know, that used to be the norm in the olden days. I remember growing up as a kid, there were so many of my friends whose elderly parent just had a room. You know, it was just a given. And, you know, many societies in the world today, especially Asians, you know, do that, Mexicans and so on, Hispanics. But we're just so resistant to that because, you know, we don't want to mess up our lifestyle. We don't want to mess up our freedom and our independence. And fortunately, there are, for American's sake, lots of options, right? I know we bought my mom her own house, and she was living there for a while. And then, you know, she needed some help, so we got her sister to move in with her. And they worked out okay until they started getting on their nerves and they wanted to kill each other. Then we found an independent living place where we can stick them in two different buildings of the same complex, and that worked out for a while. And then she was having problems. You know, she had dementia, like I said, it was getting worse and worse. And so we had to transfer to her from an independent living to assisted living. And then she had a fall, and then she had to go to a nursing home. And then, you know, she was into palliative care and then the hospice care. How do we know if we're making those transitions, because there's several of them, in a timely fashion? I know many times we said, she should not be in that house. and we waited too long, you know, and she should not be in that independent living, you know, and we waited too long because, you know, you don't want to just do it. You think of every reason. Oh, well, maybe she'll get, you know, maybe if we had, visiting angels come by three times a week, maybe that will fix it, you know. And so talk about the frustrations and the decisions that must be made constantly with living arrangements.
The really nice thing that I was able to do with a lot of my elderly people and parents is the first thing when you see that they're burning things on the stove and they're, you know, sitting in the bedroom saying, I don't know what I'm going to do anymore. The alert button system that they can put around their neck, that is a good thing if they ever get into a situation where they are by themselves and they run into problems, the neck. But another thing that I did with my mother when, God, this is back in 2009, there's a thing called Granny Pods. And it's a little home that's only 300 square feet that you can put in your backyard. It's almost set up like a trailer, yes, but it's beautiful. Yeah, yeah. And yeah. So they're not in your home. They have their own home. They have their independence. And yeah. Everybody wins.
So close and yet so far away.
But it doesn't work in Manhattan.
No, that's when the really tiny homes come into play.
You're going to have to live in Florida, Adrian. Everyone eventually goes there from New York.
Not me.
Well, listen, I can't believe how time flies when you're having fun here and that we are just about at the end of our hour. Thank you again, Adrian, for coming on, and Tina. How can anyone get a hold of you both? Tina, you first.
You can get in touch with me by my email, which is theultimatecaregiver@yahoo.com.
And you wrote that down on the chat, I see.
Yes, I did. And you can also get in touch with me by my blog, which is theultimatecaregivingexpert.com.
Awesome. And Adrian, it's your turn.
Yes, I'm Adrian, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, at thecaregiverspace.org. And the website
Adrian
is
at caregiverspace. And you have a Facebook page too, both of you?
Which is also the Caregiver Space. And Tina?
It's Tina Scallon, and I'm also on Twitter with two E's, TeenaScallon.
So we're not spelling Tina the way most of the world spells Tina.
No, it's a German way of spelling Tina. It actually needs the little hyphen over the E. I actually wanted to go get it legally changed to T-E-E-N-A so it could be Tina. But then you run into changing your name on everything, and that's a pain in the butt.
Yep.
Well, and I'm Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, and we are here every Tuesday at noon Pacific time. And just a reminder, all our shows become recorded podcasts on our website, caregiverscaregiver.com. That's caregivers with an S, caregiver without an S.com, and videocasts on YouTube. And when you are on my site, don't forget to take our short quiz, absolutely free. And just for doing that, to find out if you're a candidate for burnout, we're going to assess where you are in the burnout process. Maybe you don't need any help. Maybe you know you're burned out, but do it anyway, because I'm going to send you my my book, free copy of my first book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, a $10 value, absolutely free. Why? Because we want to help you survive this thing called caregiver burnout. So until next week at noon Pacific time, may God richly bless you all. Bye-bye, and thank you, girls, for coming on the show. Bye.
You have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani. Join Dave every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific, or catch the program anytime 24/7 right here on Radio Star Worldwide.